Welcome to the IT Babble podcast, where we talk about educational technology and a whole lot more. You can find our podcast on iTunes, please subscribe, or your very favorite podcasting app. Also, you can find our blog at www.itbabble.com. Welcome back, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a bit of a milestone episode, podcast episode 199. Tony, 190, are you...
I know, it's crazy. We're almost to 200.
It's a little crazy. I got to reach out to Omar, and I got to get him scheduled. I'm going to leave it up to you to get Keith on the podcast. I might even reach out to Preston for longtime listeners who know who Preston is. See if he's available. Chances are he is not. he's probably organizing a student cheer section for a bocce ball game somewhere. I mean, the guy is so dedicated to his school, it's ridiculous. So chances are that we can pry him free from his responsibilities are very low. But I'll try anyway. I'll reach out. Anyway, this is our final episode of the 2021 calendar year. Because I don't know about you, Tony, but our school goes on winter break starting Friday afternoon. And we don't come back until January. So... I don't know if that's the same with you.
Yeah, so that's the same. We're finished on this coming Friday too.
Okay. Cool. All right. Awesome. Yep. Awesome.
I'm just making some notes, sorry.
No,
our talk. Yeah.
I can hear you typing.
My big keyboard. It's my big keyboard.
It is a big
keyboard. An old school mechanical Apple keyboard, like a big one. The old kind with the two USB slots in the middle.
Whoa, are you talking about like the really old white iMac keyboard with like the white iMac with the magnet on the side where you can put the remote?
Does it have a magnet? I don't think this one, I don't know if this has a magnet.
If it's the big, really old white one that's like curved, the keyboard's curved, there is a magnet on the right-hand side, and the magnet is for because for people who don't know, iMacs used to come with remote controls. In fact, MacBooks, I think, even came with like little white rectangle remote controls. So they had a thing called center stage or front stage or main stage. And if you had media on your computer in particular folders, you could actually sit back, use the remote control, and control your media, whether it be songs or video or whatever. And the old white iMacs had up on the right-hand side had a place where you can just put the microphone, the remote control, and it just magnetizes right to the side. Little fun fact. But that's pretty sweet because that's a pretty fantastic keyboard, actually. That is a pretty nice keyboard.
I really like typing on it, and I don't like new keyboards. I don't know. They feel like you're just typing on paper. I type, like, heavy. Like, those little lightweight keyboards, it's just bad. And I don't know. I like the way these heavier keys feel and sound.
I can see. I've never really typed on a mechanical keyboard since high school. So I've always had laptop keyboards, which are obviously shallower for obvious reasons. I have a Logitech MX Keys keyboard, which is kind of a fancy keyboard, but I got a pretty good deal on it on eBay because it didn't have the USB receiver. I was missing a USB receiver with it. And one of the keys is kind of mashed down. It doesn't work properly. But other than that, though, the thing works really well. And it's pretty good to keep type on. I enjoy it. It's got a little bit of key travel. Not like your mechanical, though. But anyway, Tony, break is upon us. What sort of plans do you have? Do you have any plans? Are you doing any traveling? Are you doing any projects over the break? What's happening?
I'm going to be studying some. I'm trying to work on taking like a big exam. I'm not going to divulge that right now because I'll probably fail it like 5 times. So, you know, I don't want people to make fun of me. Right. So I'm going to be studying and then, I think we're going to go visit my family in Kentucky, which will most likely be a complete disaster, but we're going to try to go have a good time.
Because for the people who are listening, a little timeliness here. There were a bunch of tornadoes.
They're not even close. They're really far away, but obviously that was horrible.
It was. Yeah. all through Kentucky, down through the South. My wife, she has family in Arkansas, and she said there were no tornadoes in Arkansas, at least in Little Rock where they were, but the storms were severe, were quite severe, and it woke them up. So anyway, I'm glad that your family's doing well. My family's doing well, and hope everybody who is affected by those things recovers quickly, whatnot. But we don't have much of an agenda. We're gonna talk about Google a little bit. We've got a what am I drinking, but that's kind of it. We don't have a whole lot, unless you have a secret. Sometimes you know. Sometimes you got a secret topic up your sleeve.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I have a secret topic, but I do think that the Google conversation, you know, we can talk about that for a while. And we can also connect it to some other, we should just talk about Google and just go ahead and add the Office 365 so we can cover kind of the scope of the topic and clear up some misunderstandings, because this kind of stuff pops up all the time.
All right. You better believe it. I'm doing it right now. Okay, but first, let's play your favorite game. My favorite game.
What am I drinking?
What am I drinking tonight? I actually have a beer. For the past couple of podcasts, I've been drinking water or iced tea or whatever. But I actually have a beer tonight, Tony. And I think it's a beer you might enjoy. I'm going to pour it into my glass now while you, the listener, can enjoy. So a couple weeks ago, Tony had a Shinerbach.
That's right.
Which is out of Texas. And I have the Shiner Winter. Oh, my gosh. The Shiner seasonal winter beer called Holiday Cheer. And on the label, it says brewed with peaches and pecans. Oh, my God. Dear listener, the peaches are coming through strong on this one, and it smells delicious.
Is it too fruity, though? Like, I can't handle really fruity beers, Patrick.
Well, it's got a fruity aroma. I haven't tasted it yet. I don't really smell the pecans, but I really smell those peaches. And you know, I don't enjoy peaches. Like, some people like to eat peaches, peach pie, whatever. Not me. But I like the smell of peaches. You know, when somebody walk into a room and somebody's is eating peaches, I enjoy that smell. But when I eat a peach, I'm just like, eh, the taste doesn't live up to the smell. But so here comes my first taste. Oh, there's the pecans. Oh, wow. That's delicious. Holy smokes. Shiner, what have you made? Oh, you've made a winner. That's what you've made. The holiday cheer, people.
All right, I might try it. I think they have it at Whole Foods here. I might pick one up on Friday.
Pick it up. It is so... my older brother gave me a Christmas gift early, and in there were three beers, and two of them were, you know, they're fine, right? They're good. I've had them before, but I've never had the Shiner Holiday Cheer, and holy smokes, it is excellent. Excellent. Delicious. Okay, Tony, what do you got? What do you got?
I'm drinking a Ghost River Gold. It's a blonde.
Ooh, Ghost River. Ghost River. No, where is that out of? Is that a Mississippi beer?
I don't know. Ghost River. Oh, let's see. Ghost River Brewing is. Is it? Let's see. Ghost River. Where are you located? Well.
I know
it says Beale Street. Isn't that Memphis?
Oh, that is Memphis. Okay. 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 Yeah.
Yeah. It's in Memphis. Yeah.
Memphis. Man, that is awesome.
Yeah. Ghost River Golden Ale. So it's got a pretty sweet can. I like it.
Ghost River. I think, you know, I'm looking them up here right now. I'm putting links, folks. I'm putting links into the show.
They have a limited release, Patrick. This was one for you. You should look for Brunch Please, a blueberry maple pancake sour.
Oh.
And our friend Keith, who pretends to like sours, maybe I should get him one of those.
Pretends to like sour.
Yeah, like you go somewhere and they'll have like 8 sours and like one normal beer, and he'll be like, "Oh yeah, this is a good brewery." It's like, "No, no, it's not." And he's like, "Yes, it is. You just need to give sours a chance." So
I've never had. So I'm looking here at their website, and I've never had a Ghost River. We don't get it up here, and
All right. Well, next time I head that way, Patrick, I'll bring you a 6-pack.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. So it looks like, and would you recommend the
Yeah, I mean, I like it. It's easy drinking. Like yep. It's fine. It's just a normal. It's not super light, but it's not. It doesn't have like a strong taste or anything.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
And Beale Street, ladies and gentlemen, for those who don't know, is right downtown Memphis, downtown Memphis. They close it off every weekend. There are concerts down there. There's restaurants. There's bars. There's dancing. It's just a party every weekend. I know this. I lived in Memphis for 6 years, so it's a wonderful.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful part of town. So
he's a Memphis expert.
I wouldn't call myself an expert, but I would call myself experienced with Memphis. It's been a while since I've been down there. It's been a while, but it's always a good town. All right, Tony, this is our single topic, our single real topic, which is Google Workspace and Microsoft Office 365. And what I'm gonna type in here, in schools. And I'll let you take this off because I think you got it.
Yeah, so I read this LinkedIn post, and a person was like basically calling Google Santa Claus because they gave them so many free tools. And, there was a point a few years ago where the Google, I mean, it's gone through so many iterations. What was it before? It was like, Google Apps for Education. Yep. Yeah. And then it's like GAFE. And then it went to like what? G Suite and Google Workspace.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the pandemic hit, and if you don't know what happened, this is what happened. Google was, I think, basically overtaxed. They couldn't keep giving it away for free. So the first thing that they did was said, okay, no more unlimited storage space. If you want unlimited storage space, you're going to have to pay. And then they said, and if you want Google Meets to have the same features that Zoom does or Microsoft Teams, you're also going to have to pay. So they came up with, a stripped down free version. And there's a bunch of other, there's just little things that you don't get. It's weird. It's really hard to keep track of, to be honest with you. Yeah. Like, for example, if you pay, and this is something to note, you get an originality checker that you can use that I would say is just as good as Turnitin.
What? Hold up. Well, Turnitin is the gold standard, Tony. I mean, I didn't think there was anything near Turnitin.
Yeah, it's pretty good. The Google one is pretty good. Now, here's the thing. Turnitin tries to have all these other features. Like, you can use it for grading. Whatever. If you're using it to run your class, fine. But if you're just using it as an originality checker and your school has Google, if you have the free version of Google, if you just pay for the enterprise education version and you have like, I don't know, under 2,000 kids, mm-hmm. I would say it's probably cheaper than Turnitin, and you're going to get the same results.
Wow, that's pretty sweet.
Now, the weird thing is, like, you have to do this, like you know how sometimes with Turnitin, schools just, the teacher just uploads the paper, the students don't actually do it?
Yeah.
To do that in Google, you have to set up a Google Classroom, and literally all the teachers just need to be enrolled as students in the classroom, and then they can submit them as assignments. It's kind of
that's weird, though.
It's weird, but it's literally for us was like once we factored that in because we needed to pay for the upgrade, and we factored that in and got rid of Turnitin, so our net expense didn't go up that much.
Oh.
Like, our overall expense did not go up that much.
So, go ahead.
So it comes with an originality checker. You can use Google Assignments, which is this weird, obscure product, but it plugs into things like Blackbaud.
Yeah.
So, you get Google Assignments, you can connect it, so people can submit their assignment through like a Google interface to Blackbaud, and it will check the originality and do all that for you.
Wow, that's pretty. That's it.
But
yeah. So I. But, go ahead. Keep going. Because I've got thoughts.
So the thing is, the point is that like a lot of the advanced stuff you see in Google Workspace, the cool stuff that you see, is not going to be in the free version anymore. You'll have 75% of the options, and the other 25% are part of the licensing, and you have to pay. Yeah. And I think this is starting to become more and more common for people to realize, like, oh. And the other annoying thing is, when you buy a Google license, you go through like a reseller, and they have a really hard time locking the price down for more than 1 year. And I'm a multi-year licensing person. I want to know, like, hey, can I just lock a price in for 3 years? And can I just pay for all of that right now so that we have a predictable expense? And
now that's that's really interesting. Because when we buy Chromebooks, one of the variables that seems to be that can change is you buy a Chromebook, and the Chromebook is whatever the cost is, but you have to buy a Google license with it, so the school can manage it, and that license is like a set fee, but some places are willing to eat part of that cost in order to get your right. business. Is that kind of the same thing true with these resellers, you think?
It's the same, but I guess what I'm saying is last year they reached, you know, I was like, okay, how much is it going to be? And they told me, I'm like, okay. I'm like, well, what will it be if we buy a 3-year license? And they're like, we can't. This was last year, so I don't know. It may have changed. And they're like, well, we can't do a 3-year license.
Wow.
And they're like, Google said that they might adjust the fee. So I think what I'm saying is I think that the paid options are going to increase, not decrease. I think Google's going to start cutting back on more and more free stuff. A guess I would have would be YouTube. Like right now, we can do a lot with YouTube. Like stream, we can do like, you know, we can go live. We can basically store like unlimited videos.
Yeah.
I think I can see there being a paid tier for YouTube coming up, stuff like that.
So I'm with a couple years ago, Google told us, because we had a school YouTube account within our domain, and Google correctly identified what it was, and they said, you have to get rid of this account, and here's how you need to make it. You have to have somebody set up a personal, this is what Google told us, you have to set up a personal account and transfer everything over, and here's how you transfer everything over. And they gave us step-by-step directions, and they said, and if you don't do it by this date, we're going to delete that account. Now, I'm not mm-hmm. sure what it was. I'm not sure if schools were trying to monetize their YouTube account.
Right.
I mean, which could very well be, and they don't want that. I don't know what the deal was with it, but maybe it's part of this. Maybe it's part of this. Hey, if you want a school YouTube account, you've got to pay for the enterprise. That could very well be coming up. I wouldn't be surprised at all. Wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. So. Yep. I think it's just going to increase. And Microsoft has been pretty good about, you know, if you do the correct license, you get Office for free for kids, and I think for teachers now. But if you get into the Azure and the other hosting features, the Intune, a lot of that is limited, and then you do have to buy a license. And again, normally you have to go through, now sometimes you can buy it right in the console, mm-hmm. but a lot of times you do have to go through a reseller to get the correct license for what you need. And an interesting thing to do if you haven't done it is try to buy Minecraft for Education. It is very convoluted. It's $5 a license, I think, for life. You can buy like 20 licenses or whatever and rotate students around. That's pretty easy to do. But it's not simple. I mean, it's very convoluted.
No.
I just think these companies are going to start charging for more and more services, because I do think that once the hybrid learning hit and the online learning hit, they were overtaxed, and they said, you know, let's see if people will pay for this stuff, and people did. They're not going to say, okay, you can have it all back for free now. I think everybody's going to start charging. So back to the LinkedIn post.
Okay,
Google is not Santa. Google is a business. I would roughly, if you haven't done this, look at your budget and say, in 2022, 2023, in our budget, we need to have an increase, I would say, like $4,000 to $6,000. Park it. Just park it. You don't spend it for services in wait. Hold it in wait.
Yeah.
If you, and I mean, and roll it over until at least 2026. I would roll it over for 2 years and until we know what's going to happen. I just feel like they're going to start charging. I think people are going to start charging for all kinds of little things, and those little things add up fast.
Yep. We saw this summer when we were budgeting, we saw an increase in every one of our services, everyone except for Zoom. And I really think Zoom had such a huge year last year that they're able to not increase education right now, but I bet in a couple of years they will increase the education, and it'll be a substantial step up from what we're paying. But everybody else was an increase, and it wasn't a little increase like, oh, we're going up 5%. It was a substantial increase with every service we had, everyone.
Right.
Everyone. And back to the Office 360, getting back to the Minecraft, we tried to buy one from Minecraft, well, from Microsoft. We're like, hey, we would, a parent reached out and they're like, why don't you set this up or whatever? And so we looked into it and we tried to get an account, and they said, you already have an account. And we're like, what? Who is the administrator of the account? And they didn't know.
Yeah.
All they know is that with our domain, there was some. We think it was a student who set it up for him and his, for he or she with their friends, and graduated, and nothing happened with it. And now Microsoft has this honor, and now they can't. Now they refuse to. We have been around the bin and back. Like we are talking with the same technicians and support people over and over again. And nobody can help us with this. It's ridiculous. Come on, Microsoft.
Yeah. Minecraft's a weird one. They should make it a lot easier. And I wanted to experiment with their Intune and put a couple devices on it. It's their like mobile device management system for like Windows products. And I ended up going into this thing called Endpoint Manager instead of Intune, even though it's called Intune. And it wasn't in the main control center of Office 365 with all the other dashboards. So it was a completely separate site I had to find on my own. It wasn't linked. I would have at least assume it was linked. I went into Azure. I think I was able to eventually find a link in there, but it was really, really messy. But the main point here is that these services, just like you said, like if you've licensed them accidentally in the last few years for free, you need to go ahead and audit everything and double check everything, because this is one of these things where it can be like, it's no longer free as of like whatever. Whoever licensed it or however it was set up, maybe those notifications aren't getting to you if you're managing this stuff. And then you're going to show up one day and there's going to be things not working. You're going to have an outstanding bill. Something weird is going to happen.
Yeah.
So this is a really good time. And the reason I'm bringing this up is when everything's free, nobody really thinks about auditing and management. They're like, oh, it's free. You know, I'll deal with it later. But I'm saying that I feel like things are going to be charged. I think we're going to have to start paying for more stuff. So you need to look at all of these services within the service, the main service, as part of your budget. So you got to look at Google Meet as an expense now, if you're using all the features. It's not free.
And
Google Storage. So if you've been using, if you've been making a huge archive in Google Storage, and it's not free anymore, well, you need to look at other platforms and say, should we be paying for Google Storage? Or should we be paying for Dropbox? Should we consider using SharePoint? What does that give us? There are products like Wisteria, which are kind of like competitors to like Amazon, like S3. These are all options now on the table. You shouldn't just stay in the ecosystem just because you were using it before.
Box.com is crazy cheap. Fairly, at least for an individual account, it's pretty cheap. It's very, very cheap compared to Dropbox or whatever. Very similar features. But yeah, I think you're very much right about that. And for the people who like for the Google Meet, I got an email last week from Google going, "Hey, if you're using Google Meet for your classes or whatever, the features you've been enjoying are going to go away on January 22nd. I think it was January 22nd. And they're like, if you want to continue to do that, you have to upgrade to Enterprise." I mean, they're very clear, very transparent. But yeah, I talked with a one of our companies that we use. Hold on, let me find out exactly what their name is here. Oh, that is definitely not it. Hold on here. Amplified IT. Tony, are you I don't know if you use, they have Little Sis and a number of other.
Yeah, I know.
They're also one of the partners who can sell you Google Enterprise, for example, if you wish. Their service increased dramatically. And I had an email back and forth with their CEO, and she was like, "Look, we are swamped. Our business increased like 80%, and we were a small company of like 15 people. We were working like 60, 70 hours a week just to keep everything up and running. And we needed to expand, which means more people, which means we got to offset that cost somewhere." So, they were very open, and they're just like, "Yeah, we were just crushed. We were just crushed. We barely were able to keep up." And you saw that with so many other things too. It wasn't just Little Sis. It was Screencastify had issues. Google Meet had issues, like you said.
Yeah.
That had serious issues. Google had serious issues for about a week or so, where things were just unavailable.
And there's another thing too with these licenses. They all work kind of different. And Google's weird, at least the kind that we have. It's based on a ratio of how many students you have to teachers, or students you have to non-students, basically. So you have to prune your user base. Like you shouldn't. They say that suspended accounts don't count against you, so that's fine. But basically, though, you have to make sure you don't have any significant number of active accounts that you don't need, or affects your ratio. Now, you probably could have, 20 or 30 accounts that are temporary, or maybe for substitutes or whatever. That would be fine. But if your ratio, the smaller your school, the harder this is. If your school's big, it's easier. But if you're a small school, you really have to pay attention to it, because it can increase your fee if your ratio changes. So, like, as long as the number, I think it's like you need to have 10 to 1, so 10 students for every one non-student.
Oh, man.
And if you go below that, you're in a more expensive tier.
Oh, gosh. So
there's all these, it's probably more common for schools to like have students who've left over the years, and they just maybe they took the services off the accounts, but the account is still active because maybe they're like, "Oh, maybe the student won't come back." Yeah, you should deactivate them. And after a certain amount of time, maybe delete them. But again, if everything's free, you don't audit as much.
No.
So just if you're starting to pay for this stuff, or you think you might have to, clean up your users, clean up your organizational units, just imagine every single user costs you $1. That's what I do. I'm like, okay, nothing's free. And once I kind of get the sense that nothing's free, I'm a lot more aggressive.
$1 per month.
Yeah. Be like, what if everybody was $1 a month? Could I afford that? And if you're like, no, I can't, I got to get my, I need to go through this. I think people will be surprised. Like, if you go into your Google setup or your Microsoft setup, you probably do have some accounts in there that shouldn't be in there anyway. Right. So this is just a good time to like clean it all up, audit, and get organized.
So for our school, we are a small school. We provide our parents with a Google account because, again, we are on the free version. We're not on the enterprise version. We're on the free version. And we want to make sure that when we send an email to our parents that it actually gets there. You'd be surprised how many parents, how often their email changes. I mean, it could be changing because they put in a work email instead of a personal email, or maybe it's a personal email that they've lost access to. You know, they forgot the password. They can't remember they don't have like a recovery set up for it, and they can't remember the questions that they ask you. You know what I'm talking about?
The security questions.
Yeah, they can't remember the security questions. Yeah. Man, I had a.
What's my talking about?
Moment there. That's what I. So, you'd be surprised at how many those accounts just don't work, or that they don't change, or they don't check, or. And so we provide them with it. That way we know when a parent says, I'm not getting that email, we can look and we can be like, yes, you are getting that email. You need to check this email account, not your personal one. Because, you know, so anyway, boy, that would be very expensive for us to switch over to Enterprise at this point.
Expensive. And the thing is, like, I think a lot of people feel like they have to switch to Enterprise. You don't have to. This is what I'm saying. Like, look, if you have to pay, you need to compare. Like, you can still get Microsoft Teams for free, and you can link your Microsoft and your Google together. There's a few ways to do it. Mm-hmm. So you can just have one email account, but you can get Teams for free, so you don't have to use Meets. Or you can pay for Zoom, as long as you have the paid educational version and you're not using the free version. So I don't know how much other products are, like Cisco WebEx or like whatever, but you don't have to pay for Meet. You don't have to pay for the storage. So if you don't want to mess with it and don't really think it's worth it, I mean, Google Drive's great. I really, really like it. Yeah. But when you start paying for stuff, you start saying, you know, Google Drive should maybe do this, or maybe you start looking at it differently. Like, this is annoying. And then when you go for support, I mean, we had an issue. We had a weird issue with some student accounts. It was like these two students only were having this problem, and it was a permissions thing, and nothing we did would fix it. And I'm like, well, this, something's weird. And it took Google it took them like 5 to 7 business days to get back to us. Ooh. With not a very helpful answer. Eventually their accounts their support, just started working.
Usually properly. Their support, though, is lightning fast and very helpful. Usually, in my experience. So to hear that, it's very unusual.
Well, I don't use their support that much, and I agree, like, their support's probably good. But if it were a free package, I would be like, oh, it's free, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But once you start paying, that 5 days feels bad. Yeah. You're like, come on, you know what I'm saying?
I do.
Like with Microsoft, basically, I've never found Microsoft support to be great, just honestly. If I paid for Microsoft support, I'd probably try to go through a reseller that was selling us the license so that there would be some support on that end. But it's kind of the same. Like, if you pay for Microsoft products and then you ever want to use their online support, like, for years I paid for Skype living overseas, and I had to use their support once, and it took like 3 hours for them to just verify my identity once. I'm not kidding. And you know, you're just like, why am I paying for this? Why? I need to find a better solution. This is crazy.
Oh, Matt, well, that's definitely, yeah. Because Google used to be free, like the Google for Education, everything, like everything. The full version. But now they've been, the past few years, they've been really kind of just bringing it back. Like little features here and there, and features not so much that teachers would notice, but people like you and I, Tony, will notice, and the admin section. We were trying to, gosh, what were we trying to do? It was just the other day, and we couldn't do it. And we had done it last year, but we couldn't do it this year. And I looked at my colleague and I said, I wonder if it's a paid feature now. And he did a really quick search and goes, yep, you're right. It's a paid feature. Yep, I can't find that report anymore. We have to pay for it. And I was like, okay, well, we got to find something else. So yeah. It's just, Yeah, I think you're right. I think they're just going to keep bringing it back and back and back and back and back until it's just bare bones.
So, Patrick, something else just occurred to me. I was going to ask you. It's not on the agenda. But it just popped in my head because I was speaking with someone who works at another school, and they said that their school was using Salesforce school information system.
What? No.
And they said they were using it because they were able to get Salesforce to code live data from their Canvas system into the Salesforce like data visualizer. And I thought I would talk to you because I think you have done or you are going to be doing a demo soon.
All right. So here is the thing. Salesforce reached out to us years ago just about our admissions because we're an independent school, so admissions is a big deal.
Yeah.
And it didn't work at the time with Blackbaud. We use Blackbaud as our school information system. We don't like to drop names here, but I gotta drop a little bit of names. They just wouldn't talk to each other, really. Like, it would have to be a manual. We'd have to take the data manually out of Salesforce and push it into Blackbaud, which we totally could do, but we just didn't feel like it was the hassle.
Right.
So they reached back out to us again quite recently, and we sat down with them and talked with them. We actually had a meeting with them last week, as a Google Meet meeting, and all they did for an hour was ask us questions. They didn't show us a demo, but pretty much what they said is, they go, we have this package right out of the box, but we are Salesforce, and we can build whatever you want. If you want it, if you can dream it, we can build it. I think somebody said that during the meeting. I'm not kidding. So they have all of this great stuff right out of the box, and it's very business-oriented, though, Tony. It's very – they're like for marketing, if you want to see who clicks on your social media buys, like if you buy ads on social media, if you want to know who clicks on those people, we can give you that information. Right now, we don't have access to that information, at least not that I know of. But they didn't really talk about the academic side, but they have told us that they have a full K-12 student information system solution ready to go. Ready to go. And that what they did is, and it makes sense, so higher education reached out to them for fundraising. And so they built fundraising modules. And then they're like, wow, your fundraising modules are good. Can you do anything for maybe some classes? Like for like a, and they're like, okay, yeah, sure. So they did that. And then they're like, wow, that's really good. How about admissions? And they started building admissions. And then independent schools were like, whoa, that's – well, you guys are using Salesforce? I never heard of this. And so it just kind of grew organically for Salesforce. And now they have Salesforce.com and Salesforce.org, which is their nonprofit. And on Salesforce.org, they have a higher education and then a K-12 education division. And they build solutions for – those schools, whether they're public, that's fine. Whether they're independent or private, that's totally fine. They will build a solution for you, and it'll be tailored for you, is my understanding. And so we had a meeting with them, and they just asked us questions for an entire hour. And they're like, we're going to have a demo for you, and we'll reach out in January and set that time. So I'll have more information for you, though. But it's pretty sweet. I'm kind of interested because they're so new. This is building a student information system is difficult. Is incredibly difficult because there's so much that has to be captured, and it has so much that has to be pretty easily accessible for various different people. It's not an easy thing to do and to do it well. So I'm really interested to see what they have done. In less than a decade, so.
All right. Well, you got to stay posted. Keep us posted.
I will. I shall do that. Yeah. They're growing. A Salesforce, for people who don't know, is a CRM company. But they have so many resources to bring to bear. They just, the whole thing is, it's what's out of the box is really good, but they can customize everything else to fit into your organization. So you can have giant organizations using very customized version of Salesforce, and you can have small organizations using very customized. It's very scalable, their thing. So it doesn't matter. Salesforce, they're a beast. But anyway, that's all I got. Tony, that's a good one. That was a good one. But that's all I've got. I don't have anything else. Do you have anything else?
No, I think that's it. I'm getting notifications that there's a massive, like, Java security issue. It's like my inbox is exploding right now as we're speaking from different user groups. So I'm looking it up. It's called the Log4j library. And it seems like it is a very, very popular code library in a lot of systems. But I don't know if our systems that we're running locally are impacted, but it looks like a lot of our vendors could be impacted. It seems like Amazon, Apple, Cisco, Cloudflare, Steam, Twitter, a lot of big companies use this system, this code library. They're pulling data from it, or not data, they're pulling script or functions and stuff built.
Yeah.
So I'm just reviewing it now. So if you do work in technology and you manage systems, make sure tomorrow morning you research Apache Log4j library and see if it impacts your systems.
There you go. And who knows, Microsoft might even use it in some of their servers. Who knows? I don't even know what this does. But yeah, I'm looking at it right now, and that there is a 0-day being exploited, a 0-day... wow, exploit. Wow, that's pretty wild. That's pretty wild. Anyway, on that horrifically terrifying news, hopefully it's not too terrifying. Hopefully it gets pretty well contained. My name is...
Yeah, well, people, I mean, at least people know about it.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Thanks for listening, folks. My name is my name is Patrick.
And I'm Tony.
And keep on babbling out there. You can find us on www.itbabble.com. And... happy holidays. Hope you have a safe and enjoyable one. We'll catch you in the new year.